This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dan, for this introduction. And you're listening to the Christian War Room, and we want you to start fighting if you're not already fighting, and if you're fighting, to fight well. That's very, very important. What is what can we do to get this war going in our favor? And the answer is very simple, and it is not hidden, but it's maybe even in plain sight, but it is in the Word of God. We just need to look to Ephesians. We need to understand the Word of God. We need to use the sword, which is the Word of God. And we need to have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and shoes, being shod with the readiness to proclaim the gospel. And we need to have the belt of truth. We need to have the belt of truth. And I want to talk a little bit about the belt of truth. There's so many lies in this era, in this generation. If you turn on the television set, all you get, not all, but a lot of it is just full of lies. It's just half truth. It is information which is heavily biased into a certain direction. This is what we are being told. I once had the privilege to talk to a lady who was working for one of the German public broadcasters, and she was sort of part of the editorial team. She was a Christian, or she still is a Christian, but she's no longer working there. And she was telling me stories of, that when they had this editorial meeting, there was a clear bias which was anti-Christian and anti-Israel. And the news was presented in a certain way, or a lot of news which came from Israel and which looked very bad on, for example, the Palestinians, or news about Christians, it just wasn't put forward. It wasn't put into the news. So and we find this today as well. There's a lot of Christian persecution going on. I heard a figure, and I'm not quite sure, I think it was Eben Threnholm who said this. I'm just trying to think who was saying this, but there is a figure about hate crime. It's quite interesting. I'm not quite sure in which country. I think it's in Europe somewhere. And the media is completely silent about this. And the figure suggests that somewhere between 70 and 80% of hate crime committed was committed against Christians. And nobody says a word about it. Nobody says the slightest word about it. There's one situation where you had a demonstration in, I think it was Berlin, and I could see this picture. There was, a lot of Muslims that went on the street and they, did their thing. And somebody, who was loyal towards the state of Israel, and this is happening in Germany as well. So bear in mind, there's a tremendous amount of guilt on the German nation with what has happened in the Second World War. And there should be a little bit of favor. There should be, and there's been a lot of favor. There's been this recognition, we have done a terrible mistake. Whatever happened is put a phenomenal amount of guilt on the German nation. And we are trying our best to do amendments, to do right, to repent, to not do this again, and to support the survivors of the Holocaust. And this, how shall I say, this mentality has sort of been carried by my parents' generation, and it's been partly picked up by my generation, but not with the same fervor. Now, my mother was still, she was born before the war. I was born well after the war, obviously. So there's maybe a little bit of a difference as well and a little bit of detachment. But anyway, what happened in Germany was there was somebody who put the flag of Israel in the window to just express loyalty to the state of Israel. Now, some of the Muslims got very upset about it, and they started sort of wreaking havoc, and all the police could do is get into that person's apartment, it was sort of a high-rise flat, and force the person to take the flag off. And that is now our freedom of speech. Yeah. We cannot express loyalty to a legitimate state in the Middle East, because it might upset some people, and you've got the police knocking on your door, forcing you to take this symbol of loyalty down. My friends, this is where we have come to, and this is sort of the situation where even in Europe, we no longer have got the backbone to stand up and to say, look, you know, this is a country of freedom of speech. You are allowed to voice your opinions and to say whatever you want, you know, in favor of your religion or in favor of your country, your culture. That's okay. But everybody else has got the same right. And because, you know, the police was upset that they've got a riot on their hands, and that was probably the reason. So the law for freedom of speech and pluralism, which used to be anchored in the German constitution, they were just sort of thrown away and they were thrown overboard and they caved in. They caved in to Islamic domination on this issue. Yeah. It's a very, very sensitive issue, in my opinion, and especially for Germany. It's a very poor testimony and a very, very poor witness. So this is the situation we are in. You know, this is the situation we are in, and a world which, you know, from 20 years ago is almost unrecognizable. And why have you got this word? It is just a decision of a couple of politicians who follow some sort of guidelines they've been given by whoever, and some sort of, you know, political agenda, some humanistic agenda, some liberal agenda they are trying to pursue and push through. And what we end up with is not very pretty. It's a lot of insecurity. There's a lot of there are a lot of problems in everything, you know, where the standards are no longer there, where it's no longer clear what we are supposed to be doing. But young people grow up in an environment of total uncertainty. They don't know who they are, what they are. They've got issues with their identity. They've got issues with their outlook on life. They've got issues with the most basic concepts and about their identity, you know. And I don't want to go further into it. I've done this before, but it's just something to bear in mind and to see what is happening in this world. Now, as Christians, we need to stand up and we need to say, look, you know, this is who we are. We need to return to God as a nation. We need to return to God as a church and not follow the liberal paradigm which is forced upon us. We need to reject this liberal paradigm outrightly and say, this is the word of God. This is the foundation we're going to stand on, and this is what we're going to preach. And we're going to preach it whether we be persecuted or not. We're going to preach it whether it is opportune and right in the eyes of this world or it is not opportune and right in the eyes of this world. We're going to stand on the foundation on the word of God. We're going to raise our kids on the foundation of the word of God. And if you come with your schools and your educational systems and you try to destroy our kids by teaching them a lot of crazy ideas and crazy concepts, we're going to resist this and we're going to take over the education of our children and throw it out of the public schools, out of the public boards, school, you know, ethos. And that's really what we need to do as Christians. We need to rise up, and that's a problem. We don't. We are just supposed to be nicey-nicey, and we are falling prey to this wrong god of tolerance. And we sacrifice the truth on account of it. And we can't do this. We have got the belt, you know, our armor is buckled with the belt of truth. And we need to stand in for truth. And we need to preach truth. We need to preach truth to this lost generation, which we are dealing with at the moment. Okay, let's move on to Steve Cicolanti and Ibn Thranon.
There are so many monasteries and beautiful churches to visit. Just inside Moscow, you have a lot of monasteries, all monasteries. So you only need to go to Moscow to get a feeling of what they call the Holy Rus, which is the Holy Russia. Mm. It is a concept. I mean, I would say Russia is not just a nation, it's a spiritual concept. Mm. And the Christian faith is so deeply ingrained in the Russian soul, in people, in the history, in the literature, everywhere. So coming from the West, it's like, oh, you can breathe. I mean, when you live under this very secular leftist agenda, when you come to Russia, you would feel like, the first time I went there, that was 3 years ago, I felt like I had spiritual freedom. I couldn't describe. I couldn't describe it. I just felt this kind of inner freedom, just being there. And I was really puzzled, and I couldn't figure it out, because I was told that it was, you know, everybody warned me not to go to Russia at that time, and saying, well, you're crazy, it was during the the Ukraine crisis. Ukraine, yes. Don't go there. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I want to go and see for myself what it's like, because I had been reading about this Christian revival. Mm-hmm. And Putin saying a lot of, you know, very positive things about the Christian faith. So I was really curious. And I felt this kind of energy, this kind of spiritual freedom. Mm. So I talked to some Russian about it, and they said, yeah, there is a spiritual freedom here. And I think that is what describes Russia best. Is even though the political system is not like ours and their democracy is different, you would feel the spiritual freedom. And I think that is really so important, because Christianity really don't need democracy, because Christianity has been, you know, blossoming during all sorts of regimes. Mm. But actually, democracy needs Christianity more than Christianity needs democracy. So for me, it's very important that a political leader is in favor of the Christian values and, you know, is trying to build his nation on Christian values, because then eventually there will be freedom. Because there is no political freedom without spiritual freedom. And we see that Christianity is the faith that has given most freedom to people all around the world. So I think we should be more focused on Christianity than democracy. But unfortunately, democracy has become a new religion in Europe. Mm. And it's like a kind of idol, you know. And now we see that democracy is not strong enough at all to save us from radical Islam. There need to be a spiritual counterweight to radical Islam. And that is, of course, the Christian faith, the Christian love, the Christian prayers. And when that's gone, of course, evil can flourish so to say. So those evil powers are taking advantage of the empty house, the house that is completely hollow and shallow. And that's why that they can succeed in doing terrorism again and again and again. It's because of the lack of the Christian prayers, the Christian, or the lack of the Christian faith. Because so far in history, Christian Europe has always been able to defeat Islam. But this is the first time in history that Europe will meet radical Islam without Christianity. And so far, it's not going very well.
Mm. I want to refresh our audience about a little bit of the history. That people think that Islam came in because of U.S. foreign policy. But Islam has been trying to conquer Europe ever since its conception. And it was always thwarted until it succeeded in going to the Iberian Peninsula, Spain, and it went up to Asturias, and then it was stopped over there. Then in the, I think in France, it was stopped in the Battle of Tours. In Austria, it was stopped in the Battle of Vienna. And this all happened like before, you know, America was founded as a nation. So this war, this struggle has always been going on. But you're right, the Christians, they were the knights in shining armor. When people say, you know, knight in shining armor, you are referring to tough, masculine Christian who defended his faith, his family, his country. And that that masculinity is kind of gone from Christianity. It's become feminized. It's become feminist. Most pastors I know are very feminist. They don't even consider, preaching about masculinity, preaching about, you know, the traditional things that is in the Bible. So they just go with whatever is politically expedient, whatever is culturally popular. And I think that's why we got to get back to the Bible. If the church itself just got back to the Bible, we would have a humongous revival, because we remain the majority in the Western countries. But if we don't do something, Europe is not looking good, doesn't look very safe in London, doesn't look safe in Paris, doesn't look safe in Belgium. I don't know Denmark, I don't know Scandinavia as well, but I always look at your flags and I always think, you got the cross, you know, every one of the Scandinavian countries got the cross. How do you deny that those are Christian nations? I mean, how do you go through the schooling over there and forget that you were founded on Christianity and your peace, your prosperity came through Jesus Christ? And we're like, it looks to me like, correct me if I'm wrong, it looks to me like, you know, the spoiled kid who's been handed everything and they forget the hard work that came before, you know, the grandparents and the parents that worked to give them the benefits that they enjoy today. So it looks like Europe is a bit of a spoiled kid. Is that a unfair to say?
No, I think you're definitely right in everything you say. I couldn't agree more. And like I said in the beginning, I mean, this all comes down to that we've lost our Christian roots and that we have abandoned the Christian faith. I think some people start to understand that democracy won't do it. But, it takes a long way to make people actually repent and to come back to God and start to pray, because I think this is what we need. Because, I mean, wars and crisis is not only about politics. It's about the way we live. And I'm not saying that the influx of immigrants and all the problems that it causes is a kind of punishment for our sins. I'm not saying that, but I say it might be a consequence of our lifestyle. And because that we don't pray anymore, we don't have faith in God, we have faith in ourselves, we have a tremendous pride, I would say, but also a huge insecurity. It's a sort of, shallow pride. In the end, we turn out to be very, very weak. And that's what you see. So you say, yeah, it's a kind of spoiled child, but a spoiled child is not very strong because it was never taught how to take care of itself and to defend itself. And I think, for instance, Denmark, it's a country that has promoted feminism, for instance. So many men here, like you said before, they were brought up to be women, not men. So they don't even know how to protect their own country. They're just talking about being tolerant and being, being good to each other. And unfortunately, you see also the church here being very feminine. And also, I think that the Christian idea of mercy has become politicized, so that you are only a good Christian if you are for open borders and for this tremendous influx of people from Muslim countries. So if you have a slight hesitation, or you don't think that this is right, or you want to protect your Christian culture and promote muscular Christianity, you're told that you are racist and you're a bad person. You are very evil if you do this. And so, of course, many Christians, they don't want to be labeled as somebody who's a bad person. So they just don't fight. They don't fight. And I think what I also learned, or have learned from the Russian Orthodox faith, is that Christianity is also about fighting evil. And I think that the gospel is only about that Jesus shows us how to fight evil. I don't see Jesus as a feminine man. He is a very loving man, but a loving man who is ready to sacrifice himself. And that's where his manliness or his masculinity is actually coming out. And he was a spiritual warrior, Jesus. Jesus was a warrior in many ways. And he didn't pick up a weapon, but if you turn the cross upside down, it looks like a sword. I mean, so I think we need to understand that it's not unchristian to fight. And, I mean, God says that you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. You should also love yourself. And in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it says that you have the moral duty to defend your life, because you have to protect yourself and love your life, because you are created by God. You are a creature of God, so you should protect yourself. It also goes for your nation and your culture. And I don't understand why we only should have compassion for strangers and not for our own children, the next generation, our own culture. Why is that, xenophobic? Why is that racist? I don't think it is. I think it's very Christian to protect the culture that is Christian. And if you go back in history and you examine what the big saints have said about the Crusades and Islam, Thomas Aquinas and Francis of Assisi, they were very much in favor of trying to defeat Islam and to go against and not have them crossing our borders. St. Francis even went on a crusade himself. He didn't do it to fight, of course, as a soldier. He did it to evangelize between or among the Muslims. So those old pillars of the church, those big saints, they were all very cautious when it came to trying to mix Christianity and the Islamic faith. They didn't believe in that. and they were really against it, and they were for the Crusades. I mean, people should look up what Thomas Aquinas said about Islam. He's very negative, and he doesn't have much positive things to say, and he's one of our biggest church teachers. So maybe those old church leaders and teachers have something to say that we can learn from. So I think Europe really needs to go back to its roots to save itself. But in my darkest moments, I fear that it's already too late, because the church do not understand its responsibility, and the church is only talking about this, what I call misguided compassion, so to say. I mean, of course, we should be compassionate with those refugees who really need help. But we don't know who many of those people that we let into our country really is. And many of those people that are already here and second generation are getting radicalized. And, you know, they need to have a spiritual counterweight, because it's not enough just to make new laws and trying to forbid these ideas, Sharia laws. You need to go against their ideology. Mm. So it's a spiritual war, like I said. And if you don't tell them that there is something that is more important than the Islamic faith, and that is Jesus Christ and his message, you're never going to defeat them. And also, when you have an evil of this dimension, which is a spiritual thing, I mean, evil is always spiritual in its nature. You can't find it only with political tools or political means. It's not possible. You need to have a moral strength. You need to know, you need to be able to distinguish between what is good and evil. And we have lost that moral compass because of relativism and materialism and secularism. Mm. So our politicians don't know anymore what is good and what is evil. Mm. So what is good is being called evil, and what is evil is being called good. Mm. So, you know, there is, you know, it's a huge job. And I think, I don't think it can happen unless God intervenes somehow. And God will intervene if people start to pray. Yeah. So we need, I mean, we need prayer groups all around Europe. And like in the book of Jonah, it was the few people that saved people from destruction. Mm. So I think even though we are not the majority, still few people can actually prevent catastrophes to happen. So I really would urge people to start praying for this evil to be defeated. Mm. But it takes, you know, divine powers. We can't do it alone with political ideas. I don't think that's possible anymore.
It's refreshing to hear a top journalist like you calling Europe to prayer. I think that is the solution, and highlighting the spiritual dimension of our lives. You know, I come from the East, where it's normal. You know, whatever faith you are, even when you're not Christian yet, people are acutely aware of the spiritual dimension of life. And here, I mean, if people are not taught that through Christianity, then they turn to me just rubbish things like tarot cards and, you know, palm readings. And it's the basis contact with the spirit realm. But you remind me as you're talking that, you know, the founding fathers of America, they fought, they were outnumbered, they were outgunned, but they had a moral compass, they had a conviction of what was right and wrong, of what was just, and they got on their knees. You know, and this is all record that I, over time this year, I'm going to try to bring this out more to the public. A lot of my viewers are in America and Canada. And without that moral compass, you're right, good is called evil. Isaiah says that woe unto you who call good evil and evil good. Well, now intolerance is called tolerance. You can be intolerant of Christians and in the name of stopping Islamophobia. You know, so just, you know, I think it was today, Canada passed this bill, M103, I think it was called, that it bans Islamophobic statements. Now, it's not legally binding, but this is where Canada is heading. And it just comes from a lack of understanding of Christ, of morality, and using political power. The God of the left is the government. if you give away, you know, you give up your faith in a personal, intelligent, just God, then all you have left is you look to the government to save you, take care of you, to give you handouts. And this is going to be, you know, this is an experiment that Russia has already gone through. And I wish the Americans and the Europeans listening remember history. We've already gone through this. Communism failed. Socialism doesn't work. And it breeds tyranny. It breeds control. So I just fear, you know, I fear for I know that it's like it's a political topic that we're having on, you know, on Skype. But this is real life for you. I mean, if it gets really bad, where do the Christians go in Europe? Mm. So you really need revival over there.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's interesting what you say about the state handing out everything, because in Denmark, which is a very good example, we have a welfare state, probably the most well-functioning welfare state in the world. And it's actually true that here the state has become God. The state has replaced God. So you count on the state for everything. They can really take care of you from you're born until you die. Mm. And that's why Denmark has become so unspiritual. Normally I say that, you know, we are a third world country when it comes to spirituality, because we're spiritually starved here because of the welfare state. And that's a huge problem, because then, of course, suddenly some kind of evil, you know, tries to attack a culture. And then, you know, evil will really prevail, because there is no Christian faith anymore to counterweight it and to stop it. And this is the core problem of the entire Western world. That is the spiritual problem. And because we've become so secularized, and because we have this kind of socialism welfare system in many European countries, we have forgotten God. So that's why I think it would be wise of the European people to be humble enough to ask God for forgiveness, that they were actually worshipping the state instead of God. And that takes a lot of humility. And I mean, modern people have, you know, a lot of pride, because we have this idea that we control everything and we are, you know, the masters of the universe. And the Western people do not understand that other countries do not want to live like us. That's one of the major problems with Islam, is that we think, of course, when they come to the West, they want to become like us, because everybody wants to be like us. But they don't want to become like us. They want to have their Islamic faith. They want to practice it. And they actually think it's better than the godless West. And we cannot understand that. And we need to understand that people really, I mean, every single person in this world have a kind of need for spirituality. And if it's not God, it will eventually be the state or something else. And we have just chosen the wrong God for too long. And now we see that our God, which is democracy and the state and materialism, is useless. And this evil is coming upon us. So I say that it is a consequence of our lifestyle and our choices and the whole 68 movement that broke up the family and that separated sex from procreation, all these things. And this completely loss of any kind of conservative morality. Now we see that our society is just crumbling, which is crumbling. And it's really sad to see, because Europe has given the world so much. And we used to be this proud Christian nation. And now we're just like a battered wife. I mean, whatever. We are a victim of some kind of abuse, but it's our own fault, because we keep coming back to the man that is abusing us.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.